I'm amazed to see how God has brought people together and how God has brought Army Bible Camp about. I know some of the key leaders very well, and I know a bit about the seminar presenters. And as one leader put it the other day, most of them have come out of the gutter. Most of them have come out of the world, and one has come out of a cave. It is a testimony to the power of God.
Amen.
And we need to learn to connect with this God through the Word and through prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you for the privilege of prayer. Lord, I ask once again, Lord, that you would just pour out your Spirit on us, Lord. And I pray that you would speak through me, Lord. Not I, but Christ. Honored, loved, exalted. Not I, but Christ. Be seen, be heard, be known. This is my prayer. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen. I work for a mission organization. I enjoy mission stories. And this morning, I thought I'd begin with a mission story. Back in 2004, I was finishing up my studies at Andrews University at the seminary, and I was excited about going out to work. I had missions in my blood. The one thing I did not have in my blood was babysitting. Well, the Lord worked it out for me to go out to the state of Washington to work for a church, to be in charge of the English ministry at a Korean church. And guess what? You know what this church wanted? They wanted an experienced babysitter. And I knew I was in trouble, because I don't know if babysitting is a gift, I just knew I didn't have it. And I got on my knees, because I knew I was in trouble. I knew I would not survive without much prayer. And that's when I first started getting serious about praying. I began praying an hour a day. This is apart from morning devotional time. I didn't know how to pray, but when you're desperate, guess what? The prayers just come out. And I spent about half an hour in the morning, spent about half an hour in the afternoon, spending about an hour a day in prayer. I look back. I see what a blessing it was. Charles Spurgeon, the great British preacher of the 19th century, he has said, "Anything is a blessing which makes us pray." He was Charles Spurgeon was an incredibly gifted and powerful preacher. Some have said that he was the greatest preacher since apostolic times. Do you know why he was such a great preacher? It was because he was a man of prayer. Charles Spurgeon has said, "I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach." It says something about the value he placed on prayer. And he says, because prayer is such a blessing, he says, anything is a blessing which makes us pray. Thank God for the troubles in our lives. Amen. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe you're going through financial troubles. Maybe you're going through relational, marital troubles. Maybe you're experiencing health troubles. If it brings us down to our knees, it's a blessing. I like what Ian Bounds, the prolific author on prayer, who has written many volumes, has said in his book, The Essentials of Prayer. He says, prayer is of great value to trouble. Trouble is under the control of Almighty God and is one of his most efficient agents in fulfilling his purposes and in perfecting his saints. And so anyways, I'm praying. And a year later, I have this team of praying leaders who are believing in the power of prayer. And we're united in praying for this church. We've got a church that started growing. God was sending laborers in answer to prayer. And a year and a half later, we had about 70 youth and young adults. And we're saying, Lord, we're not here just for ourselves. We exist here to do your work, to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. How do we help our young people understand that we're here to be about your business? And as we prayed, the Lord gave us this idea of setting aside our loose offering on the third Sabbath of each month and sending it overseas to help the less fortunate. And since we were Koreans, we thought about our less fortunate neighbors in Southeast Asia. Another reason we decided to do this is because a missionary who had visited our church for a mission rally gave many inspiring talks, and he shared this one quote. Ellen White in Gospel Workers page 465, says, to show a liberal, self-denying spirit for the success of foreign missions is a sure way to advance the home missionary work. For the prosperity of the home work depends largely under God upon the reflex influence of the evangelical work done in countries afar off. In numerous places, she says something similar. God will bless the local mission work if you get involved in supporting the foreign mission work. And so we were inspired, and so in December of 2005, we decided to collect our first offering. Because our church can keep the loose offering on the first and third Sabbaths of each month, we said, you know what? We collect about $200-$300 in loose offering each Sabbath. We're not going to die if we don't have one Sabbath's loose offering. But overseas, it can make a world difference, where people survive on barely a dollar a day. And so for our first offering, we collected $288. Okay. And then in January, we went to a retreat, but we decided that we're going to collect an offering, and we collected an offering of $154. Well, a few days later, I picked up this tape that was sitting in my office room for a few months by this missionary, and I decided to listen to it. And this missionary was sharing story after story about how he was moving forward in faith and how God was blessing. And he said something I will never forget. He says, we'll never have enough money to finish the work. How much will be enough? A million? 10 million? 100 million? He says, we need to move forward in faith and trust the God of infinite resources to provide. And I said, God, He is so right. I said, God, I want to step forward in faith. What can I do? I said, I don't believe that I have to be out in a third world country, in a malaria high-risk area, to see you do mighty things. I believe that the United States is a great mission field, and you will work. I said, God, what do you want me to do? And I thought about our third Sabbath loose offerings. We collected about $200-$300 on average. I thought about challenging my members to pray for a $500 offering. But then I thought, you know, that doesn't require much faith. Then I thought about a $700 offering. I finally decided it would take faith to pray for a $1,000 offering. And because in January we provided rice for the people of Vietnam, $20, you feed a family for a month back then. Now it's gone up. Now we wanted to provide Bibles for their spiritual nourishment. And so I showed up in church a few days later, and I challenged my members. I said, what if we prayed for the next month for a $1,000 offering? And we sent out email reminders. Every Sabbath, we made announcements. And the next month, God blessed us with an offering of $4,382. We were able to send over 876 Bibles. It was amazing. The Sabbath before, we had a visitor that came, heard the announcement we were making, reminding people to pray, and left a $1,500 check. On the Sabbath we were collecting, another visitor who was there gave a $500 check, and the rest of our members just gave generously. What do you do when God blesses like that? All I could think of is what the missionary would say. The missionary on the tape would say, when God blesses you, you ask God for just a little bit more. And that's the way you grow in faith. And so we decided to ask God for $4,500 so we could build 8 bamboo and thatch churches for the people of Cambodia. And once again, we had our members pray. And the next month, God blessed us with an offering of $6,684. So what do? You guys are a great bunch. We decided to pray for a $7,000 offering so we could support 10 Bible workers in Vietnam for 1 year. It costs $50 a month to support one Bible worker. Workers who are risking their lives to tell others about Jesus. And we prayed and we prayed, and the Lord blessed us with an offering of $8,470. Now, at this time, we knew that the offerings were coming in not because we were lucky, and not because we were using tithe money, as some people suspected, and it wasn't because we had a lot of wealthy members, though we had, you know, a few physicians in our congregation. We knew that we had a prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God. And we said, if God owns it all, if He is the God of infinite resources, and the work is so large, instead of asking God for just a little bit more, why not step out of faith and ask God for a whole lot more? In Luke 5:4, Jesus said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And we just felt God was telling us to launch out into the deep. And so we decided to pray for a $15,000 offering to support the Cambodian and Vietnamese radio ministries and to provide 500 radios. Once again, encouraging our members to pray. And by this time, our members were excited about praying because they knew that God was doing something. And the next month, God blessed us with an offering of $22,734. We had a physician in the church. During the winter, she didn't get her winter bonus. But her winter bonus came out in May, the month we were praying for this offering. And the Lord impressed her. And she turned in her bonus. And then I had a friend down in Loma Linda who 2 weeks earlier sent us a $1,000 check. Because as the story was getting out, money was flowing into our church because people wanted to get involved. Well, on the Sabbath we were collecting in the morning, I get this phone call from this friend in Loma Linda. And he says, "Is this the Sabbath you're collecting for that offering?" He says, "The Lord just impressed me the other morning during my morning devotions to send up double what I've already sent up." So we got $3,000 from him. And the rest of our members just started giving sacrificially. Because they knew God was doing something and they wanted to be a part of it. So what do? We decided to ask God for $25,000. At this time, we started contacting ASAP and asking them what their greatest needs were, because with all the funds flowing in, we wanted it to go where the need was the greatest. Once again, we started praying. This time we were praying for the Vietnamese Youth Evangelist Project. They were needing funds for this. We were praying and praying. The next month in June, I was at the Auburn camp meeting, fulfilling my responsibilities as an employee of the conference. But our church, which is only located 20 minutes away, decided they wanted to have church and not go to camp meeting because they wanted to see what God was going to do. Well, after church, I called up one of our deacons who helped count up the money. And the deacon sounded a little discouraged, and he says, "We got a little over $10,000. What do we do?" Because up until then, every Sabbath, we had met our goal. But this is the first time we had not met our goal. But the Lord really prepared me for this experience, because a few days before camp meeting, I got a bunch of CDs from a friend up in Barron Springs, Dan Augsburger, who travels around the world talking about prayer and about the Christian life. And as I listened to his messages on prayer, he shared some stories about how different individuals prayed to God for a specific amount and felt assured that they would receive. And when the whole amount did not come in, they just kept waiting on God, and sure enough, the remaining amount came in. And those stories really prepared me and encouraged me. So I told our deacon, "We just need to move forward today, just rejoicing and thanking God because we have prayed, and we've just got to trust God." Well, that afternoon, the deacon talks it over with his wife, and they decide to put in an extra $5,000, which brings us up to $15,000. But what do we pray for? We pray for $25,000. Well, that evening, one of our members got baptized at camp meeting, and then we went to the member's home for a reception. After the reception, as I'm about to leave, an individual approaches me and asks me how much came in for the offering. He says, "The Lord has impressed him the other day to put in whatever is needed to cover the remaining balance." I got back to him a few days later with the amount. He wrote out a check for $9,000 some amount. With the rest that trickled in that week, $26,000. So what do? We decided then to pray for a $30,000 offering. Now, before I tell you about that, the next day I'm on my knees in prayer saying, "God, wow, you're just so amazing. Where do we go from here, Lord?" And I was on the computer. I don't remember what I was looking for, but I happened to stumble across this letter Ellen White had written to Captain Norman Henry. It's found in Daughters of God, page 107. And as I'm reading through this letter, it says, "Some months ago, the assurance was given me to call upon our brethren in America for help. The Lord said, continue to pray, continue to ask. I will move upon hearts, and means will come in the way I have appointed." And I'm saying, "God, are you speaking to me?" As I continue reading, it said, "Go forward, the Lord said. I understand the whole case, and I will send you help. Continue to pray. Have faith in me. It is for my name's glory that you ask, and you shall receive." What could we do? We had to move forward. So we began praying for $30,000 for the Phnom Penh Church Planning Project. Next month, we received an offering of $10,006.51, to be exact. What could we do? We saw how God had faithfully provided. We saw how God came through for us the month before. There's that letter by Ellen White that God spoke to us through, all we could do is just move forward. And a week went by and a little bit trickled in, but we're needing $20,000 to meet our goal. Another week goes by and a little bit trickles in, but not the $20,000. And I'm saying, Lord, we're waiting on you. And I'm looking at promises like Romans chapter 4:20, where it speaks of Abraham saying he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. We're saying, God, help us just to continue moving forward in faith. 3.5 weeks later, I get this email from our associate director up at the ASAP office. She says that we were at ASI. A donor approached us. We did not prompt him in what areas to give. He wrote out a check for $20,000 to support the church planning work in Phnom Penh. And we believed that God had come through, as ASAP and our church had partnered for these prayers. Well, we next set a goal for $40,000. And half of that money came directly into our church, and the other half went directly to ASAP. It took about 2 months. And then we set a goal for 47. To make a long story short, in 1 year, the amount of money we saw flow directly in through our church of 70 youth and young adults was over $120,000 in 1 year. God is faithful. God is amazing. Back in May, when we were praying for that $15,000 offering, I didn't know where the money was going to come from. I just knew God was telling us to move forward. But during that month, as we were praying, my wife and I felt impressed to put in the money in our bank account towards that offering. We had a little over $5,000 in our bank account. I mean, if you're working on a pastor's salary, I mean, it takes forever to save up that kind of money. But we thought about the great needs. And we felt impressed to put that money in, but I also had a $40,000 school loan. Anybody have loans? And I said, God, the money that I have, I'm going to give to help those less fortunate. As far as my loans, I'm going to let you take care of them, because your word says, cast your burdens on the Lord and he shall sustain you. Amen. And I claim this promise in Psalms 81 verse 10, which I heard was George Mueller's favorite promise. It says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. And I just started clinging onto that promise, taking that promise to God every day, saying, Lord, I'm looking to you to come through for me on these loans. It was about 7 months later in December. An individual who knew about our loans approached me and says, my spouse and I have talked it over, and we want to take care of your loans. Amen. Friends, God is good. I've learned a few things from this experience. The first thing I've learned is that where there is much prayer, there is much blessing. By the way, it was so beautiful to see so many of you here this morning. There's a prayer meeting that starts at 6:15 in the morning. It's just optional. Okay? For those of you who would like to come in and spend more time in prayer. I love the motto of the Jefferson Baptist Church in Oregon, where D. Duke is a senior pastor. Much prayer, much blessing. Little prayer, little blessing. No prayer, no blessing. You want more blessings? Okay. Jesus says in Matthew 7:7, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. In Psalms 2:8, God says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. What an amazing promise. In Matthew 7:11, Jesus says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? In Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. No wonder Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Friends, not just at mealtimes, not just in the morning or in the evening, or not just when crisis hits, or simply when you have something you need from God, but praying without ceasing. It doesn't mean you have to be on your knees at all times, but it means having a continuous attitude of communion with God. The second thing I learned is that God is a rich provider. We are told in Desire of Ages, page 330, that our Heavenly Father has a 1,000 ways to provide for us of which we know nothing. Do you know some ways of which God can provide? Maybe you have your own experiences where God has come through for us. Well, God still has 1,000 ways because it's 1,000 ways of which we know nothing. Friends, whether you're going through a recession or depression, you don't need to worry. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe you've heard that a recession is when your neighbor loses a job and a depression is when you lose yours. I don't know whether you're going through a recession or a depression, but if God is your provider and you have a connection with Him, you don't need to worry. Amen?
Amen.
We can praise the Lord for this economic downturn where we need to move forward in faith. The third thing I learned is that when you step out in faith, take a leap of faith, God is just so pleased. And He shows you how pleased He is by just pouring out His blessings on you. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." And the last thing I learned is that there's more power when God's people unite to pray together.
Amen.
Ellen White says, in Manuscript Releases, Volume 9, page 303, "The promise is made on condition that the united prayers of the church are offered. And in answer to these prayers, there may be expected a power greater than that which comes in answer to private prayer. The power given will be proportionate to the unity of the members and their love for God and for one another." Friends, we want to spend some time each morning uniting, praying together. Okay? I don't want to leave this conference with just a lot of knowledge and a lot of tools about how to study the Bible. I want to leave this conference filled with the Holy Spirit. And God says He will give the Holy Spirit when we ask for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, we are told, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." And so at this time, we want to get into groups. Let's get into groups of fours and fives. And we want to pray together. We want to humble ourselves. We want to seek His face. And we want to pray that God would pour out His Spirit on us, that God would bless these meetings, and that God would really be with our speakers in a special way as they seek to communicate the message that God wants to give to us. So at this time, as the piano begins playing, we'll get into groups of fours and fives, and let's pray for each other and with each other. At about 7:55, when you hear our song leader singing, you'll know it's time to wrap it up, and you can join us in singing.